This is the Pundits Podcast, sponsored by BetBright.
So it's the North London Derby this weekend. These are usually games to remember and to watch out for. It seems like for the last decade or so, or even longer than that, that Arsenal have dominated this fixture and dominated North London in a sense. Are we seeing a changing of the guard, and is now is it time for Spurs to kind of overtake Arsenal in this rivalry? I like how you did that there. It's like,
I'll take that one, shall I? Yes, in an answer. I think Spurs, all the signs point to them being the dominant side in this rivalry. Spurs are obviously on an upward trajectory on the moment. Arsenal just season after season seem to be getting worse. Obviously, single games don't decide an awful lot, but if you're looking for a symbolism, I think this weekend's game is as good as any in terms of the direction the two clubs are heading in, particularly because it's at the Emirates as well, of course. If Spurs were to win at the Emirates, where they haven't had a very good record, even in recent seasons where they've been better than Arsenal, that would be a sign that Mauricio Pochettino, the team that he has built, has overtaken Arsenal. I think in every other aspect they have overtaken Arsenal. They're in the Champions League, they're winning in the Champions League, they're beating Real Madrid, they're at top.
Which Arsenal never seem to ever do, apparently.
No.
I like the idea that they've just taken Arsenal's place in the Champions League. They're just going to play Real Madrid and Bayern Munich every season.
Yeah, get Bayern Munich. Get Barcelona in the last 16 and get knocked out.
At UEFA, they consider Spurs and Arsenal like pro Evo teams, just North London FC.
North one London what?
Yeah. So yes, symbolism of this game could be great.
Yeah, I mean, it depends what you kind of mean by the question. I think right now, in terms of the actual football, I think Tottenham are better than Arsenal, and I think Pochettino's came in and he's really underlined the complacency that Arsenal have had under Wenger, in the sense that he's such a, you know, he's such an influential tactician, and the way he's managed to get the best out of the players that largely Tottenham have managed to produce themselves. Actually, it's not as if he's came in and they've decided to just buy every young player they can. A lot of the players have came through naturally, and he's just a very good coach. And I think, and like I said, he contrasts with Wenger in that regard quite a lot. In terms of like actual long term, I think Tottenham still have a long way to go. You know, I mean, until they have a stadium that can rival Arsenal's, until they're making the same amount of money. I mean, don't forget that Arsenal still make more revenue than Man City right now. You know, I mean, I think that might be changing.
Well, season tickets are that expensive.
Well, no, that's a very fair point. Sorry, but so I think Pochettino and the fantastic job he's doing with this great group of players is pushing him above Arsenal, and as we might see this weekend, prove that they are a better team. But I think in terms of the structure of the clubs, I think Arsenal are still ahead.
There's a comparison to be made between what Pochettino is doing now at Spurs and what Wenger did at Arsenal in the late 90s. In fact, it's almost uncanny a little bit the fact that, I'm not saying that a lot of people say the Emirates is the ground that Wenger built. I don't think you can really claim that Pochettino's building their new stadium, but even in the way that they're moving into a new stadium, the off-the-field things are getting better and better. They have this young, exciting team. Wenger, as difficult as it is to imagine now because he's become a bit of a relic of another age, he came in the late 90s and modernised English football. And Pochettino's kind of doing that a little bit at Spurs as well. Obviously, you've got people like Pep Guardiola at Man City also doing it, but he's part of that movement. So in many ways, as we've kind of alluded to earlier, it is almost like Spurs have just taken the place of Arsenal in the order of English football.
I mean, let's kind of stay with on pitch and with the team, how good are the Spurs side?
Title winning worthy, if you ask me. I think in a normal season, they'd be probably front runners at the moment. It's only because we've got an astonishing Manchester City side at the moment under Pep Guardiola that I think they probably won't win the title. But in Europe, I know we're only in the group stages, and the group stages only matter for so much, but we have to be fair to them. They've beaten the European champions. They've convincingly beaten Borussia Dortmund. They look at home in a Wembley stadium that isn't theirs. They can go far in that tournament. And the Champions League seems more open this season than it's been for a long time. So Pochettino now, he needs to deliver a trophy. And the trophies they're talking about in seasons gone by with the League Cup, the FA Cup, you're now looking at a higher level of trophy, the Premier League, and I'll say it, the Champions League. They should be targeting the last four of that competition, I think.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I feel like that Real Madrid game at Wembley seemed like a real watershed moment, I guess, where you just, or just seemed quite symbolic in the sense that it was Tottenham bullying the European champions. And I'm sure Graham could talk about how that's Real Madrid have been playing like that for a while now, and it wasn't just Tottenham doing well, but the way that they really went to Real Madrid and the way that they were quite happy going toe-to-toe, they looked so comfortable, and the way they were doing it with their own players, these English players, you know, who you really wouldn't expect to be playing, not expect to be playing at that level, but to have so much confidence against Real Madrid. I mean, on this show not too long ago, we're talking about this could have been one of the best ever assembled club sides in the history of the sport. So I think that was a real moment where you thought, right, this Tottenham side really do believe in themselves. And I know they have still lost to like Chelsea and Man City
and
already this season.
As well,
well that's yeah. game. And I think it's easy to say, obviously, there's a terrible run of form for Real Madrid at the moment, but you still have to finish them off and you still have to play well. And as you say, go toe-to-toe with them. I mean, another way to look at it, could you imagine Arsenal doing the same right now? If it was, they were coming up against a poor Real Madrid team, you would still fancy them to at least at best get a draw.
That's a perfect example, because Arsenal famously always bottled it in the Champions League, except for that one season where they got to the final, obviously.
And bottled it in the final.
Yeah.
Well, Henrik Larsson broke the hearts. But yeah, so I think that's a really good point, though, actually. I think in terms of the way that character that we saw, that's obviously something that has been instilled in him through Pochettino, and that's something that Wenger hasn't been able to, because if you think about the way that the Tottenham's put together, the team, young technical players, that's not actually too different to the makeup of Arsenal teams of old, and still is to an extent. The difference is the coaching. The difference is that Pochettino makes Harry Kane feel like a world beater, and therefore he plays like a world beater.
Or even Harry Winks coming into a team against Real Madrid and has the game of his life against Luka Modric and Toni Kroos and so on.
Oh, it's throughout the team, right back, left back, anywhere. So
I mean, I'm guessing then is the biggest risk that Spurs have right now, take away a fantastic Manchester City side, but going forward, is the biggest risk they have losing these great players, and maybe even more importantly, losing Mauricio Pochettino? Because let's be honest, we've seen it happen before, particularly with the likes of Real Madrid. If they want their man, they're going to get him, whether that's a player or a coach.
Well, that's where the mark of a truly great club is, that their identity and the club can sustain itself beyond a single figure. To be honest, we haven't really... Wenger's been at Arsenal for so long, we don't really know if Arsenal are able to sustain that. But clubs like, I don't know, Manchester United, maybe to a lesser extent since Ferguson, but Real Madrid, Barcelona, Bayern Munich, these are the clubs that can sustain themselves, Chelsea, despite, no matter who's in the dugout. And that would be the big question with Spurs, is that Pochettino and Spurs' identity as a team at the moment are so intertwined that if you take one away, I think in terms of players, maybe with the exception of Kane, because obviously he's probably the best striker in Europe at the moment. You can't really find another one of those that easily.
Lewandowski.
No, Harry Kane. I'm taking that one as a win for Harry Kane.
It's another day, I think. Just choose your battles.
I'm still as incredulous as the both of you that Harry Kane's actually turned out to be good. I thought he was destined to be on loan at, you know, Sunderland for the rest of his life. But you can't deny it anymore. He's excellent. But the example of Kyle Walker has shown that if you take players out of that team, they can absorb it. As I say, Kane might be different, Dele Alli might be a little bit different, but other players, yeah, I think they can sustain their success with losing a few.
Yeah, I mean, they lost Bale and they lost Modric, and it maybe took a couple of seasons for them to get back, but it's possible. And as you say, they're not massive spenders in terms of the teams around them.
Yeah, I think the biggest difference at Tottenham in the last 10 or 15 years is the way they've approached the transfer market. I mean, if you want to make the comparison, compare maybe like back in the period where they had like the likes of Berbatov and, you know, Michael Carrick and things like that, and Robbie Keane, where even the likes of Liverpool or Manchester United, obviously are Manchester United, but back then Tottenham considered themselves a mid-table club, and therefore that meant when Man United came in with not a huge amount of money even back then, they still sold these players. Mm-hmm. You just mentioned Modric and Bale, but, you know, Real Madrid had to pay through the nose for those players, and I think every Tottenham fan can rest easy at night knowing that, sure, you know, at the end of the day, reality does bite and these players might end up going to Barcelona or Real Madrid, but we know the club will do everything they can to keep them here. And although they still might eventually leave or they might get an extra season, all that adds together, I think, and it shows that, I think it just kind of feeds through the club that it's the people who are running it obviously have huge ambitions and they don't want to sell these players unless they absolutely have to.
Daniel Levy gets pelted a lot of the time as well. I mean, it's been a lot quieter on that front now for obvious reasons, but there's been a lot of seasons he's been given a really hard time off Tottenham fans.
It used to be the case that Spurs were a selling club, and as Stefan says, they used to sell players for not massive fees to clubs that they should be considering rivals. Harry Kane and Dele Alli, I think, in particular Dele Alli, probably will play for another club. But when he does leave Spurs, and it could be the same with Kane, mm-hmm. they're going to get over 100 million for those two. Mm-hmm. They will force the whoever's paying to pay through the nose, mm-hmm. as Stefan says. They're not a selling club anymore.
I mean, off the pitch then, how big an effect could this new stadium have on Spurs? So for a while it was the Wembley curse, which seemed to last all of three games because they're completely fine now.
But I mean, the Emirates curse has lasted longer, if you
will. Well, that's it. I mean, I think it's as well, like Highbury, it was such a great atmosphere, really close to the pitch. White Hart Lane, I mean, a lot of players don't make any secret about it. It was a hard place to go. The fans are close to the pitch, they're on top of you. Will this new stadium be a good thing for them, or is it, like Stefan says, could we see them struggle for a few seasons like Arsenal have in the Emirates?
I mean, the criticism that the Emirates gets, I don't think there's anything of a curse or anything. I think it's a poor coach and people who can pay thousands of pounds for a season ticket. If you're willing to pay multiple thousand pounds for a season ticket, you're probably not the kind of guy who's going to be screaming at a football match every game. It's an upper class that go to them, or it's in the Arsenal games, and that's why it's not as crazy as, like you said, maybe White Hart Lane back in the day or Anfield or something like that. So I don't think there's really any. I don't believe this curse thing. I think the large part of the reason that that Arsenal play so poorly at the Emirates is because Arsenal have been pretty poor since they moved to the Emirates. As simple as that. Maybe it's a chicken and egg thing, but I think Arsenal performing comes before, you know, the way the crowd behave.
Yeah, I think it's the same for pretty much all clubs at the top end of the Premier League as well. It's not as if the atmosphere at Anfield is far superior to what it is at Emirates or Old Trafford to Stamford Bridge, really. And Stamford Bridge is a good example. Stamford Bridge is even less of an atmospheric hotbed, if you want to call it that, than the Emirates. But yet Chelsea still managed to win Premier League titles and Champions League and so on. So it's obviously nice to have a good stadium, and I think Spurs have taken more care with their ground in terms of they're going to have like a cop, a single tier stand behind one of the goals, and I think there's been a lot more care into making it quite an enclosed arena with steep stands and so on. I saw pictures of the construction and it does look really steep actually. So,
and the cheese bar, of course.
And the cheese bar, yeah. I wasn't going to mention the cheese bar because it didn't quite fit into the narrative.
I can see the glint in your eye.
I was going to wait until you finished, like, yeah, but there's a cheese bar, yeah. But I thought I'd throw it in the middle.
I mean, okay, let's move away from the cheese bar and back to Arsenal. Are they now a club permanently in decline?
Permanently is quite a word, but their decline is prolonged, I will say that, and I don't think it will necessarily end when Arsene Wenger leaves as manager. I think there are a lot more factors illustrated by the reaction at the AGM a few weeks ago where Sir Chips Keswick, it was like Trump, took questions from shareholders and fans and literally gave an answer that was in no way referenced the question that they had made. So it's very Trumpian. And also he's called Sir Chips Keswick, so it's like a rival Pringles mascot or something. Yeah. But there are obviously a lot of factors at Arsenal that play into this decline that they've had, and I don't think it'll, as I say, it'll end when Wenger leaves, and I think there's no signs it's going to end.
Yeah, I mean, I think the reason that Wenger still is there is because they have a very complacent board, a complacent group of shareholders who own the club.
I think he's also quite ingrained in the board, isn't he? With the board.
But the people who own Arsenal are only there to make money. I don't think that's an outlandish comment, or I don't think it's unfair by any means. They're there because they're like, I want to own a really prestigious football club in the middle of London that does make money, and it's as simple as that. And unfortunately, there's nothing wrong with a club that demands to make money, but they need to be a bit more pragmatic, and they bring in a chairman who can be pragmatic, then brings in a coach who's pragmatic, I think things can change very quickly.
I mean, I think I kind of know the answer to this, but let's just ask it anyway. Is there any way Arsene Wenger can turn it around to Arsenal, or is it essentially the sooner he's out, the faster they can start to rebuild and be on an upward trajectory rather than where they are right now?
I think he can turn it around. Do I think he will? No. There have been points, watershed moments over the past few years. The first FA Cup win 3 years ago, when remember they had that trophy drought, I thought, right, that's a platform to use, and they just never used it. Ozil signing, the Alexis Sanchez signing as well, particularly Sanchez, when they got Ozil and Sanchez in successive summers, I'm thinking, right, Arsenal have kind of cottoned on a little bit here, but it never amounted to anything. So Wenger is still a good coach. I think it is overplayed how poor he is, but he's not a coach who can win things, and a club like Arsenal need to be winning things.
Yeah, I think it's quite simple. You move Wenger maybe upstairs to maybe like a head of football, a director of football role. You're bringing in an actual coach, an actual tactician who can. I disagree with Graham. I think he's a terrible coach in terms of, well, not terrible, but I don't think he's good enough for Arsenal in terms of actually lining up his team to win games. But you can quite easily bring in a good coach like Thomas Tuchel or someone like that who can come in and, you know, set up the team properly in a modern style and have Wenger running the kind of longer term stuff quite easily.
I think, I guess, just finally and quickly, after years of kind of living in Arsenal's shadow, are Spurs now setting some kind of example for Arsenal of essentially like going forward how to succeed in the Premier League? You've talked about young players coming through, the way they deal with transfers both in and out. Should Arsenal be taking a leaf out of their North London rivals' book?
Yes, absolutely. They've got a coach who is distinctly modern. They looked a little bit outside the box. They didn't appoint David Moyes or Sam Allardyce, or, you know, I'm saying they didn't appoint someone off the carousel of Premier League managers who just seemed to go round and round. They went and looked someone a little bit different, a little bit unproven, to be honest, even though he'd done well at Southampton. Mm-hmm. There was still a lot of question marks against Pochettino. But and obviously the young players coming through. I don't think Pochettino has got lucky twice in terms of the players coming through at the two clubs. I think he's a case study of, if you give players a chance at a Premier League club where the standard is going to be relatively good anyway, players will surprise you and players will come up to that level. So I think that's an ethos that could carry over to Arsenal.
Yeah, I do. I think at the end of the day, it does still come back to simple coaches, really. I think in terms of the way both clubs are running, they both still run quite well as clubs themselves and making money and bringing players through, blah, blah, blah. But it does come down to the guy in the sideline, and until Arsenal are able to get a coach like Pochettino, they're not going to be able to succeed like Tottenham are right now.
Thank you for listening to the Pundits podcast, sponsored by BetBright. We'll be back again next week with another episode.